Praise the Lord. So I asked Brother Dyke to give me a day off for my birthday tomorrow. So, amen. Brother Dyke is coming. Welcome him, would you? Say something good about Jesus.
Praise God. Amen. We love our pastor. Amen. That's good. We love our pastor. Amen. God is good. I tell Elizabeth, I love you. She says, I love you too. I say, I love you more. She says, I love you most. It's cute. I think she got it from a cartoon somewhere, but I'll take it. I'll take it. Amen. We're going to go to John chapter 4, verse 11. Amen. We do want to wish Pastor Greeley a happy birthday. Amen. Amen. We can sing him solos. Amen. And thank you, Pastor, for allowing me to preach today. God is good. John chapter 4, verse 11. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Man, I want to preach to you on the topic today, but I have no bucket. But I have no bucket. Amen. Can we pray? Jesus, I ask you, Lord God, to anoint each and every one of us, Lord. Anoint every hearer, Lord God. Anoint every heart, Lord Jesus. Anoint our minds, Lord God. Open your word to us, Jesus, and speak, Lord, to us, God, about what to do, Lord Jesus, when we don't have a bucket, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. God, we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. God bless you. Thank you so much for standing. You can be seated. Amen. I got one more verse here for my opening text. It's in Romans 14 and verse 17. But I want to acknowledge today that when we are receiving anything from God, when we are receiving the Holy Ghost, the gift of the Holy Ghost especially, we have sometimes fear and doubt that can creep in. We can feel inadequate. Amen. But my intention today is to encourage you, if you're seeking anything from the Lord, encourage you to have faith. Amen. Encourage you to have joy. Praise the Lord. So I want to equip you today. I want to try to give you the bucket, if you will, to find something from the Lord. The Bible says in Romans chapter 14 and verse 7, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, we have the privilege of knowing exactly what Jesus was talking about when he spoke of living water. Amen. I told you, Sister Jerry, you read my notes. Praise the Lord. We have the privilege of knowing exactly what Jesus was talking about. We've received the gift of the Holy Ghost. At least most of us here in this, sitting here right now today, have received the gift of the Holy Ghost. But what else does God want to give you? What else does God want to open up into your life? Amen. And if you have not received the gift of the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking in other tongues, you have nothing to fear. See, the kingdom of God is not about what you eat or what you drink. It's about righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So let's take a closer look at what this conversation was about, that Jesus was talking to the woman here, the Samaritan woman. Let's go to John 4 and 7. It says, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman then asked this question, Sir, I'm a realist. I can see. I see this situation for what it is. You're not supposed to be talking to me. You're not supposed to even approach me or say a word to me. But on top of that, you have nothing to draw water with. If you only had a bucket, then maybe I could get you a drink. And the well is deep. From whence that then hast thou that living water? Where are you going to get it from, Jesus? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. You're not just trying to get a drink from the well. You want to get the whole well. Amen? The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Hallelujah. I want something from you, Jesus, that will make it to where all of my troubles will pass away. I want something from you, Lord, that will cause me to have that joy and that peace and that righteousness that can only come from everlasting, ever-living water. Amen. Jesus was definitely not talking to her about the well of Jacob. We know that Jesus was talking to her about another well, the well of salvation. And he is the well. He said, you won't just get a drink, but you'll get the whole well. He is the well, the spring and the source of all life. He is Jehovah, the creator of life. And he is the resurrection from the dead. And he is life eternal. Jesus is the well, amen, that we can draw and that we can have in us and in our life, amen. He is the well that you can go to every single time, amen, and you will never be thirsty again. Hallelujah. So sitting here this morning, you might have that same question that she said. How can I draw from the well? How can I have this living water? Maybe your question is just a request from Jesus. Give me this water. Just like Jacob's well was deep, the things of God are deep. They're vast. They're unsearchable. And we could be kind of standing at the edge of the presence of God. Standing at the edge of what we perceive as this vast ocean of the things of God. And we can easily conclude, I don't even know where to start. I have nothing to draw out the promises of God. I have nothing with which to draw out something from the mind of God. I have nothing that I can use to draw out from the truth of God. It's a well. And it's a deep well. It's a vast ocean. It's uncrossable. We can't know the whole mind of God. And so we make this excuse. I might as well give up. I might as well not even try. I might as well not even lift up one hand or say one prayer. Because it's true. The knowledge of God, the truth of God, the Spirit of God, the promises of God, they're not shallow. They are deep. Amen. Romans 11:33 says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been His counselor? How is it that I can even draw? I have no bucket." I have no bucket. You may feel insignificant this morning. I know sometimes I do. I feel insignificant. I feel like I don't deserve anything from the Lord. I feel like sometimes I don't know the very next step to take. And that's a real problem. The fact is that remains, we are insignificant. And the well is deep. So how can I draw even a drop of living water? How can I much less have the well? Amen? You may feel helpless, standing there with no bucket. You desperately need a drink. We've already looked at the response from the Samaritan woman. Give me, desperation in her voice. Give me of this living water. I don't want to have to come back to this same well and face the same pressure and face the same social and all the pressure she had on her life, because we find out in her life she had some problems. And so she didn't want to show up in public. Amen. She felt helpless. She didn't know what to do. But she knew that she desperately needed water. And I want you to get in your mind today. If I could just convince you, you need Jesus. You need the Holy Ghost in your life today. Amen. You need living water. You need something that will make you never thirst again. Something that will not let you down. Something that will not, when trouble arises in your life, it will never let you down. Amen. When you have Jesus, you've got access to the knowledge of God. You've got access to the love of God. You've got access to the Spirit of God. You've got access to the truth of God. Amen. You need Jesus today. You need the well today. Amen. You need it. But you know you need a drink, but your soul thirsts for righteousness. And you're surrounded by a desert. You might as well be in this day and age, the times we live in. It does seem like there's a famine or a drought. Thank you, sir. Somebody's helping me preach. My friend. Amen. There's a drought. There's a lack of water in today's. You know, not for lack of trying, right? The world will give you social media and you'll keep on scrolling. You go on social media, people all the time. Why do you think you see people walking around with their face in their phone all the time? They're trying to fill up their life with something. Something that will satisfy them. Why do you think the drunk keeps going back to drinking? Trying to fill up his life with something that will fill him up and leave him, amen, that will actually take away the drought and the dryness in his life. Amen. But what do you do? What do you do when there's nothing in your own hand, nothing in your own self with which to draw the water? And you may feel fear. You might feel fear of the unknown. Yes, there's many things from God that we have no idea about. There's many things in the Word that we have yet to find. Amen. There's many things in my life that God has yet to tell me and to speak into my life. So You can sit there and be in fear. You can sit there be in doubt and insignificant and feeling helpless. Amen. Like, I have no bucket. The question still remains, how can I have this living water? How can I have the water of life? I can't obtain it from my own power, so how do I get it? Amen. I have nothing with which to draw the water. Amen. You can run and ask your friends. You can run and ask your family members, neighbors, teachers. You can ask the whole world, and you'll certainly get a lot of answers. You can Google it. You'll certainly get a lot of answers. But the fact is, you may not get truth. And we need truth. But out of all of those doubts, all those fears, all that helplessness, and all those answers that do not lead you to God, you can hear the voice of Jesus rise above the rest and say, I am the way. How am I going to get the water? Jesus. He's the way. He's the truth. And He is the life. Amen. John 7:37 says this. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Amen. I can take a drink right now of this bottle of water, and in 5 minutes, I'll need another drink. It's coming. My mouth is going to dry up again. But when I got the Holy Ghost, I got a spiritual water, amen, that I have access to at all times. And I never feel empty. I never feel a drought. I never feel dry in the Spirit. I can access the presence of God right now. Amen. Can somebody lift up their hands in this place? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Spirit of the Lord is the only thing that won't leave you empty. It's the only thing that will really, truly quench your thirst. Amen. It's water for the soul. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Jesus, right here in this passage, gives us a huge clue. Amen. What is our part? Do we really need a bucket? No, we need Him. Our part is to believe on Him. Amen. So I ask you, and this is a serious question, I ask you, do you really believe on Jesus? Do you really believe? Amen. I know we get caught up in coming to church. I know we get caught up in singing the songs and worship. And sometimes we need to stop just a second. And we need to evaluate, do I really believe in Jesus? Is my faith completely and fully on Him? Because that's your part. Do you really believe? And is that belief based on the Word of God? Is it based on the Scriptures? Or is it based on what the current culture, the current opinions? Is it based on philosophy or religious belief? Is it? Amen. It's got to be the truth, Brother Barnes. That's right. It's got to be believe on Him as the Scriptures have said. The Word of God is truth. And when you get the revelation of who Jesus is from the Word of God, it will enable you to draw from that water. Amen. It will enable you to receive that well. Hallelujah. In other words, does your faith hold water? Come on. We got to ask this to our young people. We do. Because there's a lot of pressure that gets put, and I've spoken to a couple of the young people here about this very thing. Young people see, they do something that shows a moment of brilliance. They sing a song and we're like, wow. And we rush to make them a lead singer. Right? They play an instrument and we're like, wow, they're so good at that. Let's make them a piano player. They might say a testimony and it encourages, let's make them a preacher. But we're skipping over something. Do they really have faith? Young people, do you really believe in Jesus? Amen. I might have to ask some of the old people, do you really believe in Jesus? Because the kingdom of heaven is not about what you've done, and it's not about what you're going to do. It's not about right. It's not about meat and drink. It's about righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. If you don't have a bucket and your faith can't hold water, look to the Scriptures. Look at what the prophets and the apostles said. Amen. And the result won't just be a sip. It won't just be a small sip. It will be rivers. Rivers of living water. Hallelujah. Flowing to eternal life. Hallelujah. Amen. Read my notes too, sister. Sister Pam's reading my notes too. All right. Praise the Lord. We're going to get to that. Amen. If you realize today, if you're sitting here and you're like, I don't know what they're talking about, but I know that I want to know more. I need it. I don't know what they have, but I got to have what they have. I got to have this water that they're talking about. I desperately need it. Amen. You need to have the same attitude that Isaac did. Isaac, his attitude, said, I'm just going to dig another well. Amen. Let's look at this story in Genesis 26. Now, the context here is Abraham was already dead and buried. Amen. Isaac was married to Rebekah. And Jacob and Esau were already young men. And Isaac was trying to establish his family. And Genesis 26 verse 1 says, and there was a famine in the land. In other words, it's dry. Famine in the land. Besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries. And I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven. And I will give unto thy seed all these countries. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. So we have a man that's Isaac. He's trying to establish his family. He had heard from Abraham, his father, that the Lord had promised him that he would be blessed. He'd heard the blessing of Abraham. He heard it from his father. Amen. But it's not enough just to hear it from daddy. It's not enough to hear it. You've got to get it for yourself. Amen. And on top of that, Isaac went to the wrong guy. He went to the king of the Philistines, Abimelech. Maybe you know, maybe you don't. Goliath was a Philistine. David had to fight. Philistines, bad. Philistines were always causing trouble for the people of God. It never quite worked out with the Philistines. They were always fighting against the people of God. So Isaac's trying to establish his family, but he goes to the wrong person. He goes to the world, in other words. Amen? God had to step in and speak the promise that he gave to Abraham into Isaac's life. Amen? Isaac didn't have much at that time, but he had a promise. He had the voice of God speaking into his life. He had the word from the Lord. And so Isaac finally settles down, and he's certainly not where God wants him to be, but the Lord is good to Isaac. We pick up in verse 12. Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possession of flocks and possession of herds and a great store of servants. And the Philistines envied him for all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father. The Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. All the work that his dad did, all the work that Abraham did, the Philistines put dirt in those wells. They had made all that effort. And when Isaac went to go draw water from those wells, he couldn't. Can I just say that no matter how much you feel blessed in the world, there will always be some nagging voice in the back of your mind. Because God promised you more. God promised you much more. So God will sometimes allow conflict into your life to chastise you, to bring you back into His promises. Don't be comfortable in the world. Amen. Isaac, although he was blessed, although the Bible says he was very great, remember, God didn't just promise him one little location. He said, all the countries will be yours. And through you, all the nations of the world will be blessed. Amen? The goal that God has in letting this chastisement and conflict come into your life is to compel you to continue to walk in faith. Continue in the promise of God. Continue not getting comfortable with your surroundings. And walk into the full plan of God that He has for your life. Amen. God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for your family. God has a plan for you on the job. Amen. God has a plan for this church. Amen. And we can't just get comfortable, amen, with a 50 or 60 or 70 soul revival. Amen. We want to bless all of the area around. Amen. When people think of the name of Apostolic Lighthouse, they ought to think that church is a blessed church. That church is a revival church. That church is a place where we can feel God's presence. That church is a praying church. That church is a place of comfort and joy. Amen. That church is a family. Amen. That we can get into. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Back to the story here. Amen. So the context here is that Isaac is, he's beginning to see the blessing of the Lord. And he's received the promise from God and he's increased mightily. But God never intended Isaac to be landlocked in the land of the Philistines. And when Isaac compared his current situation with the promise, he could not say, this is what God promised me. Amen? And we've got to do that assessment sometimes. We've got to look at, what did God promise me? And is this it? Is this all God has for me for that word? Amen. Most of the time the answer is no. Amen. But God, amen, in Isaac's situation and in his circumstance, God had much more planned. Amen. Than a couple of dry wells full of dirt. Right? Amen. God never intended you to be lost, church. God never intended you to be lost, young person. Amen. God never intended you to just be wandering around in the world without direction. Amen. Empty, full of earth, amen, if you will, and not full of the water of life. God never intended you to be lost. He wants you to live in the promise of salvation. Amen. And receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's clap our hands to the Lord. Amen. Somebody believe that. Amen. God, you didn't intend me to stay empty, Lord Jesus. You didn't intend me to stay dry, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Back to our story, verse 16. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. He didn't get comfortable with those wells being stopped up. He dug them again. Amen. For the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. Amen. See, I'm a third generation apostolic. Amen. My grandfather was a pastor. Amen. Preacher. He came and preached at our church and blessed our church. Amen. He held a license with the United Pentecostal Church International for over 50 years. Amen. But what he did and what he dug, there's really little to nothing other than his family to show for it. Amen. Because it's meant for every single generation to dig that well. We can't get comfortable on past our heritage. Amen. We've got to honor our heritage. Amen. We've got to be thankful. Don't go trying to dig things that you didn't already, that were already dug. Amen. Go back, find what they believed, find their convictions, and honor them. Amen. That's important. Isaac's servants, so back to this, verse 19. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. Now this is a new well. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, the water is ours. And he called the name of it the well Essek, because they strove with him. And they digged another well and strove for that also. And he called the name of it Sitna. And he removed from thence and digged another well, for they had strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, for now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. It seemed like no matter what Isaac did, the enemy kept coming in and stopping the well, or striving for the well, or fighting for the well, or stealing the water, and making him have to start over. But Isaac, you have the promise from God. And even though the situation seems contrary to that promise, are you going to give it up? I ask you today. You say, I have no bucket. Are you going to give up? I haven't got what the Lord promised me yet. Are you going to give up? Amen. But everything's fighting against me. Are you going to give up? No. Let's try to say that together. No. Amen. We're not going to give up. Verse 23. And he went from thence to Beersheba. And the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and will bless thee, and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And he builded an altar there, and called upon the name of the Lord, and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants digged a well. Another well. Amen. I like how the Lord had to remind Isaac, because he'd gone through all those conflicts. He'd had to dig so many wells. He'd had to move so many times. God came and reminded him, remember my promise. Remember, if I could get you to remember today, that the promises of God are yea and amen. Amen. You don't have to doubt the promises of God. Amen. God didn't give you the promise because of what you did anyway. Amen. In spite of your inadequacy, in spite of your helplessness, in spite of your fear, God still spoke the word to you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Verse 26. We're getting there. And Abimelech went to him from Gerar, and Uzzath, one of his friends, and Pichol, the chief captain of his army. And Isaac said unto them, what did Isaac expect? Wherefore come ye to me, seeing ye hate me, and have sent me away from you? Amen. And they said, we saw certainly that the Lord was with thee. And we said, let there be now an oath betwixt us, even betwixt us and thee, and let us make a covenant with thee, that thou wilt do us no hurt, as we have not touched thee, and as we have done unto thee nothing but good. Amen. Isaac's probably going, I beg to differ. Amen. And have sent thee away in peace, for thou art now the blessed of the Lord. And he made them a feast. Amen. In spite of his feelings, he made them a feast, and they did eat and drink. And they rose up betimes in the morning and swore one to another. And Isaac sent them away, and they departed from him in peace. And it came to pass the same day that Isaac's servants came and told him concerning the well which they had digged, and said unto him, we have found water. Amen. In this example of Scripture, in this story, Isaac had a righteous goal. His goal, he was trying to innocently provide water for his herds and for his family. It was a righteous goal. Amen. But each time he dug, he came against opposition. And he could have easily conceded and lived locked in that state of despair and servitude. He would have had to keep giving money to Abimelech. He'd have to keep renting the land, if you will. Amen. Instead of Isaac fighting, Isaac allowed for peace. He had a righteous goal. And then he allowed peace to come. Isaac sought peace because he knew the promise of God. And the well digging was just part of the process. Isaac's attitude was, I know what God said to me. I will be blessed. No matter what I face, no matter how many wells I have to dig, God is faithful. And this is just part of the process. So when you say, I have no bucket, amen, you are saying you really don't have enough faith to try. Think about that. Let's go back to that opening text, Romans 14, 17. And think of Isaac. He had righteousness and he had peace. And then when the water came, he had joy. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. I wonder sometimes if we give up too easily on the promise of salvation. Say, I'll just wait another day. Amen. I'm speaking specifically of the gift of the Holy Ghost, which is a promise that God said you shall receive. In Acts 2:38, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. But because we don't receive it right away, or it doesn't happen to us the way it happened to others, we give up. Amen. What exactly did God promise? Amen. He said in John 3:16, He said, if you believe in Him, you should not perish. And if you repent, Acts 2:38, if you repent and are baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, you have more than just a should promise. You have a shall promise. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You have a more sure promise. Amen. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So what if you went to the altar before and nothing happened? Go again. Isaac, dig another well. So what if you repented before and then you messed up? Repent again. So what if you fell before? Get back up again. Amen. So what if you came to church before and, amen, you didn't feel blessed or you didn't feel you didn't get the word from the Lord? Come to church again. Amen. Come on, Isaac. Are you going to give up or are you going to dig another well? Amen. Make up your mind to be faithful again. You prayed before? Pray another prayer. Amen. Dig another well. And just like Isaac, his servants came running and said, we have found water. Amen. You are going to find water. If you've got the same attitude as Isaac, saying, no matter what I do, I'm going to receive what God promised me. Amen. You will get it. Praise the Lord. But we've got to find joy, just like Isaac did in the process. Find joy because we actually believe what God promised. James chapter 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Count it all joy. Amen. Isaac counted it joy. Otherwise, he wouldn't have made peace with the people. Amen. Because he knew what God promised him. He was willing to go through the process of receiving that promise. Amen. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Amen. Joy, my friends. If you say, I have no bucket, joy is the bucket. Joy is the bucket. Amen. Righteousness and then peace and then joy in the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 12:1. Let's talk about joy for a little bit. Amen. Joy is the bucket. It says, in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my Jesus. Amen. It's okay, you can look it up in the Hebrew later. But it's my salvation. Therefore, because I know that God has become my salvation, because I know that He was angry with me, but His anger is turned away, because I know for a fact that Jesus is God. Amen. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. How are you going to get the water? With joy. Amen. With joy. Amen. Joy is the bucket. Amen. That will allow you to draw water out of the wells of salvation. Amen. When you say, I have no bucket, you're really saying, I have no joy. So the real question then is, how do I get joy? What about joy? Where does joy come from? Well, C.S. Lewis, Michael de Montaigne said, "The most profound joy has more gravity than gaiety or lightheartedness in it." Amen. Joy is not just about some frivolous, feeling of pleasure. Joy is not about some passing moment of cheerfulness. Joy has some weight to it. Joy doesn't just leave you in a moment or in an instant. Amen. Real joy comes from the unexpected. Amen. When you're certain that you're going to get fired, but they give you a promotion, that's real joy. Why? Because there's a great risk to the outcome. Amen. It means something when they give you that promotion. Joy comes when you really miss your loved ones. Amen. And then there's a knock on the door. And you open the door and there they are. You're sitting there missing them. And, oh man, I haven't seen... This happened to me in October. My parents surprised me by coming all the way from Arkansas and showing up at my front door. Amen. I was like, man, I'm turning 40. I haven't seen my dad in a few years. Amen. That would be really awesome if I could go visit them. Or I'm thinking of all these different things. And my mom gives me a call. "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, nothing really. Come open the door. We're outside." Amen. There's some weight to that. There's some gravity to that. Amen. And I was shocked. And my mouth dropped open when I opened the door and they're standing there. Amen. I've got a video of Sister Greeley I can show you. Her son came all the way up from Florida last year? And she was the epitome of joy. Amen. She was just a ball of joy. Amen. But joy lasts. It's not just for a moment. You get to enjoy it. Amen. Joy comes when you know that you deserve every bit of God's wrath because you failed Him so many times. You know that you deserve every bit of His anger, but He forgives you. You should be a burn mark on the sidewalk, but He gives you mercy. You should be alienated and cast away from the Lord and His presence, but you feel love. Amen. That's true joy. Joy is when you know that God's anger is turned away and He comforts you. Hallelujah. That brings true joy. Amen. Not only is that joy, but that's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. Let's love the Lord and thank you, God, for joy. Hallelujah. That's why you can cry tears of joy. Amen. Hallelujah. Because God is so good. Amen. God is so good. Amen. Hallelujah. Joy. Marion Williamson said, "Joy is what happens to us when we allow ourselves to recognize how good things really are." Amen. If you're living in sin, there's no real joy. Temporary pleasure, I feel like we have to do this sometimes. Typing LOL is not the same as actually laughing out loud. X's and O's in your text message is not the same as embracing your loved ones. No, it's not the same. Don't try to make it an equivalency. Amen. We sometimes do that, but when we're all together in the same room, we're just sitting there typing LOL and nobody's laughing. That's not real. The pleasure of sin is not real joy. The pleasure of sin brings sadness. Amen. Temporary pleasure is not real joy. Amen. Real joy comes from knowing the truth, Brother Barnes. Amen. Real joy comes from knowing that I did deserve the wrath of God, but His anger is turned away and I can rejoice. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's clap our hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. C.S. Lewis said, I sometimes wonder whether all pleasures are not substitutes for joy. All pleasures. Yeah. That's why real joy, amen, real joy starts with repentance. It does. Real joy starts with coming to God and saying, Lord, I don't have a bucket. Lord, I'm inadequate. Lord, I don't have what it takes. Psalm 51:8 says, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Amen. Once you have real repentance, you know that in God's sight you are righteous. Amen. Right in His sight. Then you have peace, knowing that you're not the enemy of God. When you have righteousness because you've been forgiven. When you have peace because you know that His wrath is not against you. Then you have joy. And that is the atmosphere where God can give you the Holy Ghost. Amen. If we could come to the instruments. When you have joy, there's an unlimited supply of living water on your fingertips. You can instantly draw from the glory of the Lord. Amen. There's an old song. Some of you might know this old song. It says, oh, what joy that came to me when I knew that I was free. When my Savior found me, put His arms around me. Oh, what joy that came to me. Amen. Oh, what joy came to me. Oh, when I knew that I was free. Oh, when my Savior found me, put His arms around me. Oh, the joy that came to me. Hallelujah. Amen. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is how you can draw water. Amen. The joy of the Lord is how you can receive the Holy Ghost. Amen. If you've never received the Holy Ghost, it's available right now. It's a sure promise of God. Amen. Acts chapter 2 verse 17 says this, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and ye shall prophesy. You say, oh, that's just for you guys. That's not for me. That's just for some people. That's not for all people. That's just for the Old Testament or the apostles that were there on the day of Pentecost. That's not for us today. Amen. That's totally wrong. Amen. The promise was not intended for just a few special individuals, but it's for all who believe. Amen. And all that will be the people of God. Amen. Numbers chapter 24, verse 7. It says, and he shall pour the water out of his buckets, and his seed shall be in many waters, and his king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted. God wants to pour water out in buckets. He's not just trying to sparingly, little couple drops here, a couple drops there. He's trying to pour it out upon you in buckets. Amen. Hallelujah. But I feel like, and we can stand together, and I feel like I need to give you some instruction. Amen. If you've never received the Holy Ghost in your life, never had the evidence of the Holy Ghost in speaking in other tongues, I believe God wants to give you that experience today. God wants to fill your life today. Amen. If you've never received it one time in your life, ever spoken with other tongues, it's here today for you. And the atmosphere is ready. Amen. The atmosphere is ready today. Amen. So, I want to give you a little bit of instruction. I typically find that when someone's struggling to receive the Holy Ghost, they don't know what to expect. And it makes it hard for them. So I want to take you to two scriptures. Isaiah 28, verse 11. And pay attention. I want you to read this. Read this as I read it. It says, "For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, 'This is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear.'" Okay? When you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, you are going to experience stammering lips. See, when you receive the Holy Ghost, God is going to speak through you. Go back to verse 11. God is going to speak through you. Says he's going to speak to this people, right? God's going to speak through you. With stammering lips, you'll feel the stammer of your lips. You'll feel a tremble. And it will be another tongue. It's going to be a completely different language that you never learned before. Amen. Sister Jale received the Holy Ghost last week. Amen. And Sister Jale, how many languages can you speak normally? She said three now. I love it. Hallelujah. She was bilingual. But when the knowledge of God and the Spirit of the Lord spoke through her, she spoke with another tongue. Not one she learned. She's very well educated. She's an educator, in fact. But she didn't speak a language that she already knew. God gave her a new tongue. Amen? Amen. So this same atmosphere that we are here experiencing today, amen, is the very same atmosphere that God brought in to the upper room when he poured out his Spirit for the very first time. Amen. It's in Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Let's look at this. Amen. And then after we read this, after we read these scriptures, I want you to come, everybody that can, come to the front. Amen. I don't want anybody to feel out of place or uncomfortable. I want everybody that can, because one, some people need the Holy Ghost for the very first time. And number two, you need to be reminded. Somebody else needs to be reminded that God is good. So whether you're coming to receive the Holy Ghost for the first time, or whether you're coming to be refilled with the Holy Ghost, I want you to come. Amen. Let's look again here, Acts 2:1. And I read this to Sister Jale last week. It says, And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. They were unified in their minds, unified in their hearts. Amen. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. It didn't say that it filled them. It didn't say that they received it yet. But they certainly felt the atmosphere change. All of a sudden, they could hear this sound. Now, I've experienced, we go to conferences like Winter Fire, and I've experienced where I'm sitting in the balcony, and all of a sudden, it sounds like, I've been out in the woods and hear the wind go through the pine trees. It sounds like a wind is sweeping across the congregation. And just like they had it at the day of Pentecost, there was a sound that came from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. as they lifted up their prayers, as they lifted up their voices, as they began to praise and worship the Lord with joy. Amen. Expecting the promise, they heard the sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house. Pastor, I've been praying with people to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, and they say, I feel something. I felt something. Well, did you speak in a new language? No. Well, then you didn't receive the Holy Ghost yet. Let's pray again. Amen. Because it's not enough for the Spirit of God just to fill the house. It's got to fill me. Amen. Go to the next verse. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues. Cloven just means split. And that word tongues literally means languages. Cloven or different languages appeared unto them. Like as of fire. Now, it didn't actually say that fire was sitting on them. And people, there's depictions, artist renderings, that there was balls of fire sitting on the heads of the apostles. It says like as of fire. Okay? So it's trying to point something out. And I feel like a lot of times the devil tries to distract us from what was actually happening. There were different languages that were being spoken. Like how fire splits. I like to cook. Garlic has cloves. And it's just split from the main plant, right? So it's different types of tongues. Now, what I'm not saying is I'm not saying that God didn't demonstrate a special miracle in that situation. I'm not saying that God didn't do that. He may as well have done that. But to them, it was different languages. And then it said it sat upon each of them. Now, we already saw God filled the house. And then we saw here in this verse that it sat upon each of them. Is it in them yet, sister? No, it's not. Stammering lips is not enough. Stammering lips is not enough. But they can feel the excitement and the joy building. Okay? Open up your mouth. Next verse. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost in them, Pastor? Absolutely. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. In other words, Sister Ashley said, they opened their mouth and God began to speak through them. It was the Spirit of God. It wasn't some fabricated language. It wasn't vain repetitions. It wasn't them saying hallelujah over and over and over again. Amen. It was the Spirit of God that began to teach them a new language and they began to speak with other tongues. Amen. Then it says, and they were filled. They were filled. The tongues was a miraculous, supernatural sign that they had been filled with the Spirit of God. Amen? So now, can we come as the music starts? Amen. Can we come? Hallelujah. Revelation 21:5. Sister Pam quoted it earlier. He sat upon the throne. He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. That's the promise today. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. Come and drink from the fountain. Come and be filled. Amen. For these few moments that we have here in the altar, can we just begin to lift up praise and thanks to the Lord? Amen.